We want to start talking about the purpose, the reason that we want to study God's eternal plan. Real quickly, I didn't do this page of notes like some of the other pages of notes, so that you can look this over and at your own leisure. In other words, there's no fill in the blanks, and we don't expect any writing about this. This is just kind of an overview of the purpose of this particular course. Primarily, it's to sharpen our awareness of the big picture in order that we might operate out of God's mind and heart. Because we cannot release people into the mind, heart, and will of God until we know by personal revelation what that is. Many of us as Christians know that God wants us to share who He is with others or lead other people to Him. But I've discovered that I know I'm supposed to do that, but I don't know how, because in a lot of ways I'm not that sure myself who He is. What is His mind? What is His heart? What is His will? So we want to discover that so that we can be more effective in sharing who He is with others. We cannot effectively do the things that God's called us to do until we understand why we're doing what we're doing. I found such a higher level in worship when I was just a young Christian. I would go to church and people would worship and I enjoyed it. I would enter in. I really had a great time praising the Lord. But I didn't realize what was being accomplished in the spiritual realm. When I began to understand what God does in worship, when I began to understand that He ordained us to worship Him and that in that place He revealed Himself to the heart of man, and that in that process we became transformed into His image and conformed by the power of His Spirit as He went to battle on our behalf and tore down the strongholds that were erected by the kingdom of darkness to keep us from knowing who He is. When I began to realize that all of that is taking place in worship, it heightened my worship. It heightened my resolve to set my will to worship Him no matter how I felt, because I understood more about why we were doing what we were doing. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I find that it's a whole lot easier for me to involve myself wholeheartedly in something if I know why I'm doing it. And so that's kind of why we want to study this. I've found that in the Christian world, there are a lot of people that are encouraged to do, but there's not that much of understanding why we do what we do. One of those guys, you guys who know me know that the scripture just pops into my mind and I don't remember who it was that wrote it, but I know it's in there somewhere, said that we were to be able to give a response for our faith, for us to be able to respond to others as to why we're doing what we're doing. So that's part of the purpose of the class. All right. And secondly, under the purpose, is to put our lives on pivot by asking and answering the five eternal questions of life as revealed by God through Jesus Christ. And these are the five questions. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? What's life all about? Where am I going? And then I just want to make a couple of introductory statements before we kick off. First of all, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. How many of you have kind of gotten the message that spiritual isn't practical? That there's kind of this division. There's the things that are practical, and then there's the things that are spiritual. And if it's spiritual, it's got to be spooky and not understandable and kind of weird. And maybe you got to have some Holy Ghost goosebumps along with all of that, you know. Now, I like the Holy Ghost goosebumps when they come, but that doesn't, I don't believe that God is that flaky. I think God is a very practical God, so we want to find out some practical things and how we can actually apply the Word of God to our daily lives. If it doesn't apply to our lives in a practical way, it's not spiritual from the sense that God wants it to be. God intends to be practical and applicable to every facet of our lives. Every facet, every area, God wants to be a part of. And that's what the true spiritual realm is making the gospel practical. All right? Secondly, I want to state that a person's worldview is shaped by the way he sees the answers to those questions. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? What's life all about? Where am I going? So this is really kind of an introduction to Christian philosophy. It's not a systematic theology course where we just go through systematically and look at who God is. This is just kind of a course in looking at who is God? What is biblical Christian philosophy in terms of answering these questions, the questions about life? Who does the Bible say that we are? Why are we here? All right. Did I put in your notes that there's a couple of principles that the word can be interpreted at least two different ways? One, as a list of rules and regulations. Secondly, in light of God's sovereign purpose. I've noticed over the course of my life that the more I began to understand God's sovereign purpose, the more the word has taken on a completely different meaning as I've gone into the scriptures. As a new Christian, I began to read the scriptures and sort of was looking for, this is what I must do to please God, and this is what I must avoid in order to keep Him happy, kind of. And I was kind of reading the scriptures as a list of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and laws and standards that we needed to live up to and all of those things. And as I began to realize more and more His sovereign purpose, what His purpose is for mankind, the scriptures took on a whole new light. And I began to see that we can actually interpret the word two different ways, either in light of a list of things we have to do for God, or in light of His purpose for man. And so part of what we're doing is trying to understand His purpose. What is His eternal purpose, His eternal plan, so that we can properly interpret His word? All right? And again, I wrote that a person's worldview is established by how he understands God's purpose. Let me kind of illustrate that. There's a guy named Jacques Monod, who is a French, I probably didn't say that right, and if you speak good French, please forgive me, because I don't. Anyhow, he was a molecular biologist, and he wrote a book called Chance and Necessity. He holds that all life results from the interaction of pure chance and necessity. Right? That was what he said. He was obviously not a believer. The logical extension of this argument puts man on a no greater level than a squid or dandelion or whatever. And man's value is reduced to zero. In other words, his whole worldview is shaped by what he understands about God's purpose. In this particular case, he didn't even believe there is a God. And so all of his worldview is built on, ultimately, man's worldview is built on his understanding of why he's here and how he got here and where he came from. I believe that one of the things that the enemy is working on over time in this day and hour is the undermining of the truth of creation. You see, evolution is taught as fact in the school systems. Even things that have been scientifically disproved years back, 20 and 30 years ago, are still being presented not as the theory of evolution, but it's actually being presented as documentable fact. You know, there's an onslaught to change man's worldview. You know, because if we don't understand that we were created with God's plan, mind and heart and purpose, our whole worldview will be skewed and changed. The worth of other people around us will change. The way we interact with our fellow man will change as we begin to understand God's purpose and God's plan. All right? Thirdly, I think I said that its purpose for anything is its intended use. And unless we understand the purpose behind our existence, we can do nothing but abuse our own lives. I'll define the word abuse. A means without, like amoral, means without morals. Abuse means A without use, without proper use. But to abuse something is not to use it for its intended purpose. And the statement here is that until we understand our intended purpose, we'll be destined to not use our lives for which they were purposed. We will abuse our lives. That's the end result if we don't understand. All right? And the last statement I made as far as purpose, the purpose for the course, is that all wisdom must come from God. And I want to emphasize this, underscore this, draw a circle around this last statement, that He cannot be known apart from revelation. He cannot be known apart from revelation. We can know about Him, but we cannot know Him unless He does a sovereign work in our hearts by His Spirit to open our spirits to who He is. We cannot know who He is apart from a divine work of the Holy Spirit that we call revelation.